In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom, and I am glad to be with you today. I'm looking at Ephesians 1:17. I hope you're getting your Bibles out, you know. Let's crack that binding. You know, you haven't been opening that Bible. You've not been reading your Bible. You've been reading a lot of books. You've been reading a lot, but you haven't been reading your Bible. Come on now. Let's not lie to the priest, you know. Don't lie to Father. Come on, come on. Let's open our Bible to the first chapter of Ephesians, verse 17. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, hallelujah, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. I'm going to read it again. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, the Heavenly Father, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, that you would have experiential knowledge of him, that he'd give you this great wisdom in knowing him. Because you see, wisdom is not knowing a lot of stuff. Wisdom is knowing who I am in Christ. Wisdom is not knowing a lot of Bible verses. Wisdom is knowing that nothing can separate me from the love of God that comes in Jesus Christ. Nothing. We equate wisdom with knowledge, and I'm going to tell you, I know of many, many people that are much more knowledgeable than I am, but they have no wisdom. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, remember yesterday, the glory of God shines on the face of Jesus. That Jesus is the imprint of the Father. He's made of the same stuff as the Father. He's the refulgence of his glory. If we want to see the Father, Philip, those who see me see the Father, because I am in the Father, and the Father is in me. That he would give you wisdom. You need wisdom. I need wisdom. And revelation in the knowledge of him, in the experiential knowledge of him. Revelation means to take the veil off. We need that God would take the veil off, that we would know him and know who we are in him. You see what I'm saying? Revelation. Revelation. You can't do too much without revelation. That the Lord take the veil off your eyes. We saw when Ananias prayed over St. Paul or Saul, that scales came from his eyes. Oh, but more than that, scales came from his heart. And he had the spirit of revelation. Next verse. That the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling. That you may know what is the hope of his calling in you. See, if you know who you are in him, then we need to know the hope of his calling. The hope of his calling in you. You know, most of us aim too low. We have this inferiority complex. We think that we're not good enough. But you see, Jesus makes us good enough. We're blood washed. We're in Him. We're called to be His. We're called to be servants. Oh, it's not in being served. It's in being servants. Oh, yes. Anyone can be served. We are called to be servants. That's who I am in Him. That's the hope of my calling, to be a servant of the Lord. Oh, yes. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord than to dwell in the tents of the wicked. I would rather be a slave in the house of the Lord than to live a life of debauchery and fame. But you see, He would never mistreat us as servants, because He is the servant. He is the one who washed feet on the night before He died. He is the one who shed His blood for you. Oh, that you may know the hope of His calling. I'm talking to people that God has given revelation to, and they have not followed that revelation because they are feeling they're not worthy. Well, you know, brother, you're not worthy, but worthy is the Lamb that was slain. You know, brother, I'm not worthy either, but worthy is Jesus who sits upon the throne. All glory and honor and praise belong to Him. It's not in your worthiness, and it's not in my worthiness, but you know what? It's in His worthiness, and I am in Him, and He is in me. It's not in your worthiness, but it's in His worthiness, and you are in Him, and He is in you. The hope of His calling in you. And I'm going to tell you, it's not just marching in place. You know, marching in place? What happens when you march in place? You don't get anywhere. So much of the church is marching in place, not moving forward. Marching in place, forming a hole in the ground because we've been in the same place for 27 years. Marching in place. The hope of His calling is charge. Get on with your life. I have a life for you. Ho-ho. Spirit of revelation in knowing Him, and that I experience the hope of His calling, that I, when I kick off in glory, that I have fulfilled my destiny. Remember that song? I don't remember who sang it. You are my destiny. Yeah, He is my destiny. His name is Jesus. He's my destiny. I want to fulfill my destiny, the hope of His calling in me, because I am in Him and He is in me. And it's not about me. It's about being a servant. Oh, yes, it's about being a servant. Let's go on. And what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. The riches of His glory in the inheritance of the saints. Who are these saints? Those that are blood washed. Hallelujah! Those that are on earth. Hallelujah! Those that are in heaven. Glory! The riches of His inheritance in the saints. Those in heaven. Those on earth. Those in purgatory. The riches of His inheritance. You see, He gave us everything. All that is mine is yours. All that is mine is thine. And all that is thine is mine. Everything that Jesus is, He's given to us, even that we are partakers of the divine nature by grace. Oh no, we are not God, but we are partakers of the divine nature by grace. Oh, the grace of God is in us, and we have the divine nature in us. It's called grace. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The riches of His inheritance in the saints. That's why you need to read people like Corrie ten Boom. I'm reading a book about a priest who was in a concentration camp and what this man endured for the love of Jesus. The riches of his glory in the saints. Oh, there are Catholic saints and there are Protestant saints. Find the saints that you click with. If people are into the mystical life, you get Teresa of Avila. Teresa of Jesus. Get her autobiography. Find the riches of glory in that book. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which raised Christ from the dead. Oh, if we believe this one, nothing could separate us. Nothing could stop us. Nothing could have us march in place. We'd be zooming up and down like a scooter, I tell you. We'd be up and down. Listen to what it says. That you would know the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, that power which raised Jesus from the dead and set him at his right hand in heavenly places. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in me. The same Holy Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you. The same Holy Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in me. Oh, that you would know that. I don't mean in your head, that power of resurrection power dwells in us, that the glory of God dwells in us, that we would know that, and we would put that at the disposal of people, that we would pray for the sick, that we would pray for the sick, that, you listen, pray for the sick, heal the sick. Jesus does it through you. That power that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you. Stop marching in place. Stop making holes in the ground. You've been in that place too long. Get out of that hole. You have the same power that raised Jesus from the dead in you if you are blood washed. Let me also tell you this. He is at the right hand of the Father, and we are seated with him in heavenly places at this very moment. I am with him, and he is with me. Wherever he is, I am. Blessed be God. Oh, yes, I am weak, I am broken, but he is strong, and the same power that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, in you, in you. You are in him. This is beyond comprehension. This is beyond comprehension. This is wonderful. This is wonderful. This is wonderful. You can lick the world for Jesus one at a time. One at a time. See, that's the blessing of this radio ministry. I don't talk to multitudes. I talk to you one at a time. I'm not talking to the multitudes. I don't know what a multitude is. I'm talking to you one at a time. Everybody else happens to be listening. That maybe someone will grasp this. Maybe I'll grasp this to another degree. I need it. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you. That you would know this. And that is the exceeding greatness of his power toward you who believe according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead. That power is in you. That Holy Ghost is in you. That's why I said yesterday, we need the baptism of the Spirit. We need the release of the Holy Ghost. We need to experience Pentecost. If that's the way the church started, that's the way the church continues, and that's the way the church will end. I'm telling you, we need the Pentecostal experience, which is a Christ-centered experience, because because it is Jesus who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. John said, I baptize you with water, but there is one coming after me, greater than I am. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. You know, I've prayed with so many people for the baptism of the Spirit, and you know what they say? You baptized me in the Spirit. I say, oh no, I cannot baptize anyone in the Spirit. There is one mightier coming after me, whose sandal I am not worthy to untie. It is he who baptizes in the Holy Spirit. We pray, but he is the one who baptizes in the Holy Spirit. Without the baptism of the Spirit, you're impotent. You're impotent. Oh, it is for service. It is for ministry. It's not some kind of a badge. It is for ministry. It is for service. Hallelujah. Let's continue. And set him at his right hand in heavenly places, far above every principality and every power and every might and domination, dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in the world to come. In other words, the one who is at the right hand of the Father is above every demonic stronghold. Under attack. Listen, do you not know that you are a temple of the Holy Spirit? Do you not know that the same power that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you? Do you not know that the only place of the devil is under your feet? Do you not know that you are his and he is yours? Do you not know that you are in him? Do you not know that he gives you a spirit of revelation and knowledge in knowing the Father and knowing the Father of glory, and that the glory of God is on the face of Jesus? Do you not know that you are a partaker of the divine nature? Do you not know that he has a hope for you and it's not that you march in place? Do you not know that the devil's afraid of you and you shouldn't be afraid of him? He's just a fool. Do you not know that God in Christ has conquered the devil? Do you not know that? We forget who we are. We forget who we are in Jesus. I understand. When you are being barraged by every attack, oh, we forget who we are in Jesus. Like Elijah.
I'm the only prophet left, Elijah said. And now Jezebel, she's after me.
Please. He was exhausted. He had just defeated the prophets of Baal. He was exhausted. Exhausted. Spiritually exhausted. So, being exhausted and being depressed, he was sleeping.
I'm the only prophet left.
Oh, the Lord says, listen, I've got 500 others. And he sends an angel. And the angel gives him some kind of a cake to eat. My Lord, I'd like a little bit of that cake. Oh, we have the body of Christ. But I'd like a little of that cake, too. It's an angel food cake, you know. Because with the strength of that food, the nourishment of that food, he went on. We need the intervention of the angels in our life. I need the interventions of the saints. I need the intervention of Jesus Christ the Lord. I need the intervention of the Holy Ghost. I need it. I need it. I need it.
He put all things under his feet. Every dominion, domination, power, principality, they're all under the feet of Jesus. They've been crushed when Jesus was on the cross. and he made him head over all things in the church. The head of the church is Jesus Christ.
Can I tell every priest that? You're not the head of your parish. Jesus Christ is the head of your parish. You're not the head of your diocese. Jesus Christ is the head of your diocese. You're not the head of your life. Jesus Christ is the head of your life. You've got a head. Hallelujah. Start depending upon the head. Don't look at your finances. Believe that God is a provider. You have a head who sits at the right hand of the Father. Oh, yes, you're without a job, but you have a head, and he's looking for you and for your interest. You've got a head. He is the head of the church. He knows how to do things. He's not impotent. He's got all power in heaven and on earth. It was given to him by the Father of glory, and he gives it to us by grace. My Lord. My Lord. My Lord. Now, do I always know this? Of course not. Do I get under? Of course I do. But does it still remain true even when I get under and start thinking that it's for everybody else but not for me? It's still true for me. Do I ever march in place? Of course I do. But you know what? It's time to get out of that place of marching, get out of that rut, get out of that hole, and start reading what it says in Ephesians 1, verse 17 to 23, and start taking it to heart that God has a plan and a hope, and you're not the wart on the body of Christ. He's got something for you. He's got something for me. And your destiny has not been complete if you're still breathing. Would you please breathe on your hand? If you just breathe on your hand, that means you're alive, okay? You're alive. That means you're not dead. That means, you know what? You're not embalmed. God's got a plan for you. A plan for you and a hope for you. It's a spirit of revelation. A revelation of the knowledge of the Father of glory. A revelation that the glory of God shines on the face of Jesus. A hope for you, because you sit with him in heavenly places, and that the same power that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you. You don't have to stay in one place anymore. There's a hope and a promise for you, but you've got to start moving. Got to start moving. Got to start moving. Got to start moving, because you are in him. You are in the beloved, and he is in you, and everything is his is yours, and everything that's yours is his. That's right. All that is mine is thine, and all that is thine is mine. Hallelujah. You listen, I'm trading it in. All that, you know, even if I had $1 trillion, all that is mine belongs to thee, Lord. But the other part of the agreement is all that is yours is mine. Ha ha! I get the better deal. But it takes faith to live this way. It takes faith to move on. It takes faith to get out of the rut. It takes faith to see God has a hope for me. It takes faith to believe that I'm not impossible. It takes faith. Just a little bit. That's all you need is a little bit. Mustard seed. Oh, God, give us the revelation that we don't have to just... We don't have to just stay in one place, that you've got plans for us, because the world is falling apart and you want to reach the world one at a time. One at a time, one at a time. I'm talking to you today, okay? I don't know how you're going to deal with this, but God's got plans for you. And you might be 97, but he still has plans for you. I've got my friend Alice, that beautiful woman of God. She's in her 90s, but God's not through with her yet. He's got plans for Alice Lavin, and she will complete those plans. She's a woman of God, a woman of faith. God will do in her and through her what he needs to do.
She has a head. His name is Jesus. She is not so old that God cannot work through her, because the same power that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in Alice Lavin. Hallelujah! She's not really old. I'm going to tell you. I've met people 40 that are older than Alice Lavin. I've met people 40 that are older in spirit than Alice Lavin. Nothing stops her. Hallelujah. It's a gift. It's a great gift. There's no giving up, people. There's no giving up. There's only surrendering. Surrendering to him who gave his life for you. Surrendering to Jesus, where is your identity is in him, hidden in Christ, in God. That's your identity, my friends. Don't forget it. You belong to him, and he is yours and my Lord. He's got plans for you. Why don't you read today and digest? Ephesians 1, 16 to 23. You know, I could deal with this for the rest of my life and never reach the depths of this scripture. It is so powerful. Listen, I need to hear from you. Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. God bless you.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.